I wanted to look at another prayer in the Bible with you, but before we do that, I just wanted to maybe address something I think is important for our young people to know and to hear, and maybe for all of us. And sometimes growing up in church and being around Christian people all the time, we say certain things and we use certain expressions, and we, I think sometimes we assume that everybody understands what we're saying. You know what I'm saying? But I think sometimes it's almost as if I was speaking Mandarin. Or some other language, and that you don't understand. I think I know what I'm saying, right? I have an idea of what I'm saying, but maybe I'm not conveying it in a way that you understand. I think when the Bible says that we need to rightly divide the word of truth, it's not only correct doctrine, but we have to give it in a way that people can receive it. Do you understand that? We wouldn't teach a child the same way we might teach an adult. And so we have to make sure that everyone is being fed and partaking. So the thing I just wanted, it's just a few minutes, and that's, I just think it's important. We talk about the Holy Spirit. We pray and we say, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Right? You've heard that. People pray that way. I pray that way. Lord, move and fill us with your Spirit, right? And those are good and prayers that we need to pray. But why do we pray that? If I asked our young people, or maybe if I asked everyone here, why do we need to be filled? Why do we need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Why? And it's a legitimate question. Right, and some of you who have, again, grown up in the Ridgewood Pentecostal Fellowship, we've heard these things all our lives. I can remember being here at camp and coming up here, and I think it was Brother Wanamaker or another, maybe Sister Pearl Young, and these men and women, Brother Gordon Gardner, and praying, they prayed that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. But why? Why do we pray that way? And I know that we probably could spend a lot of time with this tonight, but just really briefly, in a nutshell, I want to say this, because there are a number of reasons. Jesus saw that his disciples needed something beyond just having their sins forgiven. Right? When we come to Christ, we ask him to bring salvation, to cleanse us from our sins. But there is something beyond that that God wants to do for each one of us. And once your sins are forgiven, once you're born again, so to speak, once you've given your heart to Jesus, we find that it's not always easy. It's not easy to be a Christian, is it? I mean, really, we come with a lot of maybe things in our nature that are contrary, or that want to lead us back into sin. And I believe it's a work of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us from those sins or habits or whatever you want to, you know, call them, things that have bound us. The Holy Spirit comes to make us holy, to change our desires. And another obvious, if you turn to Acts chapter 2 or Acts chapter 1, Jesus said the reason he was sending the Holy Spirit was so that the disciples could fulfill the Great Commission. He says, I want you to be my witnesses. But he didn't say just kind of go and do it. He said, no, first I want you to go to Jerusalem because I have something for you. There is a power that I want to send upon you so that you can be my witnesses. You know, and I think that's so important because, you know, we go back to school now. Maybe some of you go back to college. Some go back to high school. For our young people, for the adults, you go back into settings that are not Christian. They're not like Pilgrim Camp. Tell me if there's a place in New York City like Pilgrim Camp. And so we need something more than, and I want you to understand this too. It's not like, you know, we say, you know, we want God to pour out your spirit so that we have a good feeling. You know, we've been in meetings and we've felt the touch of God upon our lives. And it's wonderful to experience, as our brothers have been praying, the glory of God. But that is not the end in itself. You understand that? Unless that glory of God and that infilling changes me, then it's really not very beneficial. It's for a moment. But the purpose of God coming to us in His glory, the purpose of Him breaking through in our lives is so that He can get a hold of our hearts, the very depth of our being, and change us, change our desires, give us holy desires, give us a desire to please God, and empower us to be the witnesses that He's called us to be. And we're going to see that in the prayer that we look at tonight. But the other thing I want you to see is that it's really all about Jesus. And we don't want to miss that. You know, even in praying when I was younger and we were encouraged to be filled, baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, we were also told that we should seek for Jesus. Don't seek for I need to get filled with the Holy Spirit as much as I need to get filled with Jesus. We sang in that song, God in Heaven Hath a Treasure. That last line says, emptied to be filled with Him. Emptied to be filled with Him. Now that's another aspect of it. That Christ wants to come and fill us. And how does that take place? Well, the Holy Spirit comes. The Spirit of Christ comes to us. So, I don't know if I'm making this clear. I'm trying tonight. But I want you to see there's a purpose in it. Young people, there's a purpose. If we say you need to be filled, there's a purpose, right? Because we're not able to do this. We're not able to live the Christian life. We're not. And we're not called to live the Christian life in our own strength. He provides the power because He comes and fills us. There's just one verse yet. I'll quote from John 14. When Jesus was going to leave His disciples at the Last Supper, he talked to them. And the Gospel of John records that for us. That discussion, the discourse, what everyone had, the conversation that they had around the Last Supper table. And one of the things that He taught them about the Holy Spirit was, He said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going back to the Father, but I'm going to send another Comforter who will be with you. And not only will He be with you, but He will be in you. And then He says this. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus says this. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Now, I know some will say, well, He was referring to the resurrection. Well, I don't think so. In that context of that chapter, it's not talking about the resurrection. He's talking about Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. When He came again to His disciples and He filled each one of them. He no longer could be, no longer was here physically upon earth. And He no longer walked with those disciples. But now He came and He filled them with His Spirit. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so that's why we seek to be filled with the Spirit. That's why we pray, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Because we realize that we're not able to do this. We're not able to witness. We're not able to be holy. We're not able to live for Christ. And so day by day, we need to be filled with His Spirit. There's a wonderful example of this in Acts chapter 4. Now, if you read Acts chapter 2, that's the account of the day of Pentecost, right? They were all baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they spake with other tongues. And you know the story. There were so many nations represented in Jerusalem at that time, and they each heard. Isn't this amazing? They heard the gospel message in their own language. God used those disciples to spread that good news that first day, the day the church was born. 3,000 were saved. Acts chapter 4. If you open your Bibles, we'll look at that together. Acts chapter 4. If you remember the story, the way the story begins is that Peter and John go up to the temple. Now, this is after the day of Pentecost, after Christ has ascended and poured out this gift of the Holy Spirit upon His church. And so now they are going to the temple to pray, and they meet a man there that's been lame, begging there at the gate, beautiful, and he looks up at them and he says, you know, could you give me something? You have something to give me today, a beggar. And what is Peter and John? Well, Peter says to him, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And the man immediately received salvation in his ankles. That's the way my dad said it. He received salvation in his ankles. And he got up and he leaped and he ran and he drew a great crowd. They gathered around, they wanted to hear, and then again, there was this great opportunity to witness. And there is salvation in none other. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And we find another influx of souls are saved that day. Well, the rulers and religious leaders are upset with this, and they arrest Peter and John, and they throw them into prison. The next day they bring them out and they want to put them on trial, so to speak. But let's begin at verse 23. They threatened them in verse 21, but they didn't want to do anything more because all the people were praising God for this notable miracle that had been done. It was something that was spreading throughout Jerusalem. Do you know what happened at the temple? That lame man that he's been sitting. Well, Peter and John, in the name of Jesus, he's now walking. They healed him. They healed that man. And so the chief priests and rulers, they really didn't know what to do. So they threatened them and released them. Verse 23, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So here's another prayer that's recorded for us in the Bible. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the heathens rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, that's an amazing, let's just stop there and consider their prayer. And do you see the similarities to some of the prayers we looked at in the Old Testament? How did they open their prayer? Who did they direct their prayer to? What does it say? The sovereign Lord, right? You see that? The one who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. They're praying to the God who made this world, who created everything, the God who is in control, the God who is ruler over all. You spoke by the Holy Spirit. And then again, they use the Word of God. Do you see a pattern here? In our prayers, we ought to direct our attention, first of all, to the God who reigns above, right? Lift up our eyes on high and see that He is ruler over all. That's where it begins. And then claim His promises. And they quote from Psalm 2 here. Indeed, Herod, verse 27, and Pontius Pilate, and they apply it to what has taken place. That Jesus was the one, the anointed one, that was, you know, they rejected Him and they crucified Him. But what did they understand? They understood that it wasn't necessarily Pilate or Herod or any other earthly authority that had put Christ upon the cross. They understood that this had taken place because it was whose will? What does it say? Look in your Bible. What does it say? Whose will was it? It was God's will. He had already determined this beforehand. You see that? You know, I ask the question sometimes, who put Jesus on the cross? And ultimately, the answer is, God did. God put Jesus on the cross. It was God's will that He bear our punishment, our sin, upon Himself. You find that in Isaiah 53. And here again, they understood that. That nothing, not even the crucifixion of Jesus, was outside of God's control. And so there's nothing outside His control. And so these threats of these men and these rulers, it really doesn't amount to much. And so how do they pray? Verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and protect us from the persecution. Is that what they say? What does it say? No, it says, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, what did they pray for? What did they pray for? Boldness, right? To do what? To preach. Boldness to preach, right? They prayed for, again, the continued ministry that God had given to them. We're not going to stop. Lord, enable us with boldness to continue to proclaim your word. And let signs and wonders be done in the name of Jesus. Now, is that a good prayer? The answer was yes. You could say yes. You could say that. It's okay. You could say yes. That's a good prayer. Yes. Is this a good prayer that we could pray? Yes. Sister Elsie? Yes, it's a good prayer, right? This is a prayer that the church, we as the church, should pray. Young people, old people, in between, whatever, wherever you are, we can pray this prayer. And I want you to see why I say that is because they didn't necessarily pray for a new infilling of the Holy Spirit. And not that we shouldn't do that, but they didn't do that. They asked, essentially, Lord, help us to be obedient to fulfill the Great Commission that you already gave us. We want to keep doing what you asked us to do, but we need your power. And so God answers them in this way. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So how did God answer their prayer for boldness? How did God answer their prayer to be witnesses? How did He do it? He filled them afresh with the Holy Spirit. And here, again, there's teaching here in the fact that I believe that these that were assembled were likely already filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. At least some of them. 120 at least. But now they are refilled with the Holy Spirit. So that's why it's important for us to pray, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Why? Because we need that. It's not like a one-time thing. It's not like, okay, I've had my experience with the Holy Spirit at Pilgrim Camp in 2019, and so I'm good. We weren't here in 2019, were we? No. See, it was hypothetical. No. So it's not one, and then I'm done. It's a beginning, but we need to be filled again. I slipped up on quoting this last. Maybe a few nights ago. So here I'm going to say, one baptism, many infillings, and a constant anointing of the Spirit of God. He wants to fill us again. So it's right for us to come into a meeting and say, Lord, fill me. We sing the song, Fill Me Now. We sing, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Fresh anointing. These are all expressions, again, of our need. We need you to come to us. Because we're not able to be your witnesses. I mean, naturally, you might think, you know, I'm not a bold person. I'm not one to go out and find a person on the street and say, you need Jesus. That's not in me naturally. But I find that God, when he fills us with his Spirit, enables us to do things that naturally we cannot do. So it's not necessarily about you. You can say, well, I can't be a witness. I'm too shy to tell my friends that I love Jesus. I'm too shy to tell my friends I was at Pilgrim Camp volunteering. I didn't even get paid to be a waitress at camp. Isn't that crazy, Teresa? They didn't even pay me. They gave me some blue tickets. You know, and your friends are going to look at you like, where did you go? Oh, it was really nice. Went to the beach every day. And, you know, I went to church twice a day, too. Right, but no, when we're filled with his Spirit, when God comes to us, and see, that's the thing too, and maybe I didn't say this before, Jesus was so real to them, you know? The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus so real and precious to us. And so we desire to share him because he is precious. And so, I hope you understand what I'm trying to convey tonight. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But I'm trying to tell you why. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's just one other thought here, and then we'll just finish out a little bit here. But if you go back and you look at Acts chapter 1. And in that chapter, again, Jesus says, you know, you're going to receive the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, which you've heard of me. And then he says, you will receive power, and so on. And then he tells them to go and wait in Jerusalem. And I don't think they actually knew what was going to take place. He didn't explain to them the how, you know, how this was going to happen. He didn't explain to them and say, there's going to be a rushing mighty wind that comes through that house. And there's going to be cloven tongues of fire upon each one of you. And you're going to speak in tongues, in languages that you don't know. He didn't tell them all that. But somehow they understood that they had a calling. And in that first chapter of Acts, they decide, while they're waiting in those 10 days, that they need to replace or fill in Judas's spot. Remember that story? And so they say, we have to find someone to take the place of Judas, to fill out the 12. And so they go through that process, and they pick, I always forget which one it is, Matthias or whoever it was, they pick one of the two. But the purpose, they say, is this. We need to do this because we need someone to be a witness of his resurrection. Now, why is that so important? See, because I don't believe it just meant that we saw him alive after he died. A lot of people saw him alive after he died. But the apostles, they knew that their calling was to prove, to witness by their lives, that Jesus was alive. Do you understand? People ought to know that God lives, that Jesus lives, because he lives in you. Your life, my life, need to be expressions and a witness to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and he's alive today. And if people cannot see Christ in me, then I am not being a witness of his resurrection. And so it takes place, beloved, again. It's only possible when we're filled, empowered, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Brother Paul started the meeting by playing a song that conveys that so wonderfully. It says, Christ lives in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. And so we have an opportunity again tonight to come and say, Lord, fill me. I'm going home tomorrow. Lord, you see my need. I go back to that school. I go back to that neighborhood. I go back to that school. I go back to that job. I go back wherever it is you go back to. We need the Holy Spirit. I go back to Brooklyn. I need the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we all do. And the wonderful thing, he is available. I don't want to overcomplicate this, you know. I don't want to, yes, there's more to it than maybe what I said tonight. And he wants to cleanse us. We need to be cleansed, first of all. We need to be emptied of ourselves. Emptied so that he can fill me. A clean vessel in his hand. Yes, these are all important. But beloved, let's not trip over these things and put it off to some future time. Well, I'll eventually the Lord will fill me with his. No, he wants to fill you now. And there's no reason that we can't come expecting him to meet us tonight. When you go home, expect him to meet you in your church. Expect him to meet you in your quiet time. When you read your Bible, when you expect him to come to you. Again, it's not just a one, you know, some kind of, I had this amazing experience with God and now I'm good for 3 years. No. God wants to come to us again and again and again. Lord, make me hungry. Make me thirsty. Just one other personal note. I would come here to camp and stay in August and counsel and then stay for the, they used to have a Labor Day retreat. And I remember those were wonderful times. And God would come to us and meet us. And I remember I would sit where Brother Martin is and play my horn back there. And Sister Caroline would sit at the organ and she had her little Mentos that she liked. She never shared them with me. Well, maybe she did. Maybe once she gave me one. But I remember one year at Labor Day, I felt like I didn't get, and that's maybe not the right word, I didn't receive what maybe other people were receiving. You ever feel that sometimes? You see God blessing people around you and say, Lord, what about me? You know, I've been here, I counseled, I did all that, you know. And I went home that year and I kind of said, Lord, I didn't receive what I wanted. And he seemed to drop this into my heart, that I'm making you hungry and thirsty for me. And I believe that's a great blessing. If God can put a hunger and thirst in our hearts, you see, then it won't be just an experience that we had once. How many times do you eat? How many times do you drink? Once every 3 years? No. every day, right? And more than once a day. And so if God can put a hunger and thirst in our hearts, that's a great blessing. And so maybe you'll leave camp this year and God has put a hunger in your heart. And you say, Lord, I want more. I want more of you. I might not understand all that Brother Phil said. You don't have to. But you just say, Lord, I want more of you. Jesus, I want more of you. Jesus, I want you to come to me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to empty me. I want you to fill me. Jesus, come to me. Just begin like that. And I believe if we persist in that and we come expecting him to do it, he'll answer that prayer. Or maybe the prayer will be, Lord, I want to be a witness to my friends. I want to share what you've done for me. But I'm not, I feel shy, I feel timid. Can you help me, Lord? Help me, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with that power that will enable me to witness, not only with my words, but with my life. That there'll be something different about me. I believe when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we have a greater sense of his presence with us. Lord, you're with me all the time. Lord, you direct my steps today. You lead me today. And so I know I need Jesus. I need more of Jesus. You know, we want to see people really meet the Lord, but I can't do that. But I know that if the Holy Spirit has his way and allows you and me to be channels of his blessing, that others will come to know Jesus.